it's just, it's a muscle. Yeah. You'll get used to it and stop caring.
Speaking of muscles, where do you fall on the issue of lengthened partials versus stretch-mediated hypertrophy?
I don't even know what the differences between those two are. You're more knowledgeable on the background stuff than I am, okay. I guess.
I thought I was going to cue you up for something.
I just lift heavy weights.
I know, but why? You're still doing like 5x5s? Or what's your program now?
I switch it every now and then. I work with trainers. Mm. So whatever they think is good, because I just like wanted to delegate that responsibility to someone else and like stop having to obsess over it myself.
Right.
Which has been pretty, I mean, it's nice. One of the nicest parts about being rich is that you don't have to worry about everything.
But do you, I mean, so people will say this, that like if you do compound lifts for long enough, then you have diminishing returns and you have to start doing like machine isolation training, like hypertrophy stuff rather than just like the big three.
I think for the average person, they can spend a lifetime doing compound exercises and it still won't yield diminishing results.
Yeah. Okay.
I think most people are not there. Like I'm not a bodybuilder by any means. And I also do care about functional muscle too. Like I care about functional strength, and that's why I like the compound exercises, but I don't just do the compound exercises. That's what I used to do back in the day. I definitely now have to worry about correctives, being 33, making sure, you know, I have some posture correction, my knees are giving out. I play a lot of basketball, I try to like focus on explosiveness on the court, trying to improve my vertical, things like that I worry about as well. So I definitely do specific training around that too. It's not just the big three compound exercises, but I still do the big three.
I don't give a shit about functional strength. It's all aesthetics.
Bodybuilding is the way to go for sure. Isolated exercise and machines are probably much, much better. I have a friend, my podcast co-host Austin. He swears by it, and I mean aesthetically, he looks fantastic. And I mean, he doesn't really have a lot of strength, but he looks like he does. You know, he's got great pecs, great body. He's shredded, but as far as like pushing weight, he's not.
See,
there.
I didn't believe it either, and I was like, Brad and I would do like big three, you know, 5x5 type training, starting strength type shit. And then Young Chomsky turned me onto this thing of like, it was a particular program that was all machines, all hypertrophy, like heavy weight, low reps.
That guy
and
looks
just
great.
Like, I mean, yeah, he's fucking like, there is no one who has a more dialed in program than this fucking dude.
Yeah, no, I believe
it's insane. Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't think I've ever met him personally, but he strikes me as the type of dude who will like bring his own plastic container of like chicken breasts. Like, and then you feel kind of like shit and you're like, oh, you're so
But he invested. Looks that much better because of it.
Yeah, and you see him and you're like, fuck you. You know who was actually like that gave me that same feeling?
Who?
Andrew fucking Huberman.
Really?
Yeah, I was on a plane.
Wait, he's on fucking TRT. Give me a break.
Yeah, but he does live that like weird, all the weirdo shit that he talks about on his podcast, he's literally doing. He had fucking red light glasses on. It was at night. We were flying back from Vegas.
Okay.
He's sitting in front of me. First, I see him at the lounge, and I'm like, who the fuck is this gorilla eating cucumbers out of a Trader Joe's bag? He was just hitting the cucumbers raw, not even salting them. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
And then I get all the time, I'm like, oh my God, that's Andrew fucking Huberman. And he had the red light glasses on, I guess for better sleep.
Yeah.
And or whatever. And he was just eating straight cukes and tomatoes on the flight.
Okay.
And it made me feel like shit because I had just got back from, I was flying back from Vegas and I just eating awful food. And I was like, oh man, I really gotta fucking lock in. I gotta dial in.
You mentioned Lauren Southern before. There's a few content creators who were part of this like far right influence sphere a few years ago that have now tried to make this rebrand being like normie mainstream conservatives. Do you take any of these people at their word or
no?
What is your sense of this?
I just don't even care about them. I think they're, unless it reaches a level of mainstream appeal, I don't worry about what the far right is doing in general, because I feel like there's bigger fish to fry. I don't spend any time with them or on them at all. I don't know what has happened to Lauren Southern. I think like Destiny was trying to restart her career.
Oh, really? You didn't know this? Okay.
Yeah, that's... I think he was having sex with her actually. So,
oh my God.
So all of this stuff got leaked because he was like trying to fuck like some Discord.
This is a full-time job to keep up with this streamer drama.
Yeah, the only reason why I know anything about what Lauren Southern was going through is because of every now and then she'll like write an article about how, you know, conservative men are so mean to me or some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, what do you expect? Like, what do you mean? This is your worldview. But then I think they were like hooking up or something. I'm not entirely sure. I think they were. And I only know this because he once revealed in an angry moment, he once revealed to Nick Fuentes that he was actually working on rebranding Lauren Southern and helping her with the algorithm on YouTube.
That's a very strange, very unusual move.
Well, is it though? I mean, he just doesn't really give a shit. He's like a mercenary.
Do you need people to debate? Is that what the move is?
No, I think he just genuinely wanted to fuck her. And also as far as Nazi stuff goes, like I don't think a lot of these guys that are in the debate sphere truly care about the impact of platforming or the impact of the conversations, the back and forth that they're having, or the allegiances that they cut with these people. Yeah. Like, it's almost like a performance.
Yes.
It's very nihilistic. Like, they don't really care.
Do you think that there's an efficacy to debate? Like, do you think that those things are productive if you see different content creators go head to head, spar over ideas?
Yes and no. I think that...
Or maybe give us an example of like a productive one and like a not so productive one, maybe.
Productive one is one that your opponent is like thoroughly dismantled or embarrassed.
Okay.
And like the Zizek Jordan Peterson one is a good example. Because like,
that was good.
Like Jordan Peterson is at a peak of his career and then he sits down with Slavoj Zizek and Zizek just sweatily says like, where are the Marxists? And then that was like, it basically showed the intellectual depth of Jordan Peterson when asked like a couple basic questions by a guy who's written a million books. And it showcased like how silly his worldview was. Another good debate, I would say, even though it was like, it'd be better off if it didn't happen at all, was like Norm Finkelstein, also with Destiny.
Yes.
Where you got to see like this debate champion, who's a very strong communicator. Destiny is a strong orator, but not necessarily very knowledgeable on the things he speaks on, but he's very good at like researching talking points and finding logical traps to set for his interlocutors, go up against an incredibly stubborn force who has an encyclopedic knowledge of like basically every person that has been murdered by the Israeli government.
Yeah, by name,
like too. Yeah, he is a chronicler of the plight of the Palestinians. And that was, again, somewhat unproductive because, you know, it's kind of an embarrassing thing to be a part of overall for someone like Norm.
But it was on Lex Fridman. Yeah. So I felt like...
But it was a big enough
platform. Majority of the Lex audience is probably leaning in that direction. So I'm happy for Norm to talk to those people because it's probably the first time they're hearing it.
Yeah. And I think it was good because, again, it just like humiliated him for a lot of normies who were maybe seeing like TikTok clips of him before owning like the dumbest right-wing podcaster of all time. As he presents himself as like a beacon of intellectual, might. Unproductive debates overall are just most debates because I used to entertain them back in the day as well. I found out that it just like creates this incredibly toxic environment, blood sports, where people are only there for the drama.
Yes.
They're not there because they have a vision of a future and they want to push towards that. They're there to basically have your team destroy the other team and humiliate the other team. So it's a pseudo-intellectual wrestling, like a pseudo-intellectual WWE. And for that reason, I mean, I still entertain it every now and then if there's like a massive enough platform where I feel like you said, you can penetrate the collective consciousness of an audience that would otherwise never hear what you have to say. But overall, it's just, I think it's just for entertainment. And in the field of politics and political thought, especially if you're a leftist, I feel like it's much better to try and build a community that revolves around your shared values. And also, you are better equipped at showing what your vision is, rather than having to go quickly back and forth in the marketplace of ideas in a debate like that.
There was a great debate, which is back in the day, happened to be you and Destiny talking to, I think, Sargon of Akkad and Nick Fuentes.
Yeah,
a long time ago now.
I hated that.
There was a wonderful moment, though, where they started arguing that, like, these Hollywood companies were making all the movies woke. And you're like, well, they're just capitalist companies. They're marketing to people. And then later they argued that because the movies weren't making money, the companies were going to stop.
Yeah.
And you just allowed them to kind of prove your point over the course of this, like, 20-minute exchange. And I was like, oh, that's a great example. Just like daylight as disinfectant.
Yes, but also I think that was my career's biggest mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Nick Fuentes at the time was not exactly a known entity, and he was actually a last second fill-in for Blair White. And I think platforming him in any capacity was a major mistake. And I think that, like, regardless of how thoroughly you dismantle their arguments, there are certain types of people, like, there are certain types of ideology that, like, it doesn't matter, you know, any sort of daylight is beneficial for them. If they were to even have, you know, two or three extra people from that conversation go back to that, go back to their streams and go back to their communities and be like, what is this all about, really? And then they go down this, like, radicalization, this path of radicalization. I feel like it's a failure overall. Especially because there is no real interest in the truth when you get to that level of when you get to that type of ideology, where it's more so just like trying to break the brains of as many people as possible.
You're just like
which is ironically what people say about me.
You don't need to be honest, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen this thing that Norman Finkelstein wears Yeezys?
That's the least surprising thing I think I've seen it.
I was very perplexed by it, but it's adorable because he doesn't know.
No,
he just got them on Canal Street.
He don't have internet.
Yeah,
no, he literally doesn't have internet. By the way, I know this because I tried to set up a conversation with him, funnily enough, through a FaZe Clan person.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think his name is FaZe Apex. He's Palestinian.
Okay.
And he was like, I gotta link you up with Norm. And I was like, sure, let's do it. And then I talked to Brace and a bunch of other people on how they were able to get a hold of
I think they went to his house.
They went to his house. And he has a fucking landline. He literally still uses a landline. So he lives in a totally different planet. I respect it.
God bless him. Hi, everybody. This is Joshua Citarella. What you just heard is an excerpt from this week's bonus episode. If you want to hear more and get access to the full catalog for Doomscroll and other podcasts, you can support the show on Patreon or Substack, where I'm putting out new episodes every week. This is an independent show. I don't do any advertising, so your support is really what keeps this project going. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.